Hey, here I am. Really sorry, but I got this line is busy, and it was the Indian line, so there's always the unexpected here. I took it as Krishna because everything is going so well. And I may start getting into the misconception that I'm the controller, because things have been so nice. It's as if I was controlling. That's the way they would do it. So whenever that happens, you know there'll be a little pinch. So this is the third pinch, just like Maharaj Parikshit. Maharaj Yudhisthira, he went through so much difficulty. And then when he was finally settled in the kingdom, and everything was going well, then Dhritarashtra left home. You know, there was somewhere. So there's always a pinch because generally things don't go well. But sometimes you finally get into the misconception that, wow, you know, I've worked so hard all my life, and now I'm finally in control. So everything's so nice by the mercy of His Holiness Giriraj Swami. I'm staying in His place, and His disciples, you know, were so excited that He came, some people from Bombay, that they fixed it up that I'm almost embarrassed. I almost feel like I come to America, it's a third world country. And, you know, every evening I have the sanghas and we have nice kirtans. And, you know, I'm settled in Vrindavan now, I guess now for another 3-4 weeks before I return. So I had three pinches. The first pinch was, these very nice devotees are cooking for me in the kitchen downstairs, so I have suitable prasadam at time, and a nice young devotee comes and helps me with my puja in the morning, and, you know, all the little things are taken care of. But here was the first pinch. The first pinch is I was coming back upstairs for lunch, and the monkeys were sleeping in front of my door. So, no, the monkeys were upstairs. Now, they were there in the morning, but I told there's a chokidar, a guardsman here. I said, there's monkeys upstairs. I just don't know how to deal with them. So he goes, and they're all away. He said, come upstairs now. And I said, well, how do you do it? Because every time I come with a stick, they just kind of like attack me back, and it's like a stand-up. He said, you know, when there's a stick, they're not afraid. They can grab it. He said, but when you bring a rock or a brick, you can get it. And he just goes up there and they all scatter. So I was coming back. That was in the morning. Then in the afternoon, they were back. So after lunch, with this person that's helping at the monkeys, okay, let's go. I said, but you know, if you pick a rock, and raise the rock, they'll leave. So I raised the rock, and they just became more aggressive. But I realized at that time, if I back off, they get energy. So I had to just stand there, and they were like coming forward, and I had to, you know. Indians can deal with monkeys, Westerners can't. So then, We got them off. We just bombed them with rockets. We just scared them off. So in the evening, they got revenge. And the way they get revenge is they open up the taps outside. So in the morning, there's no water. They're really smart. They open up the taps, so there's no water. And we had locked two of the taps. And they found a third one, like a little sink. So they drained the tank, so when I woke up, there was no water. And here's the third pinch. So after these three things, I firmly became convinced again I'm not the controller, because I was the controller. The monkeys wouldn't be in front of my door. There'd be water in the morning. And the phone wouldn't work. Krishna is mercifully put me in my place and revealed to me my true position. Okay? So that's my monkey katha from Vrindavan, and Prabhupada always said the celebrated monkeys of Vrindavan. And it's amazing. I mentioned to you before, I tell you what I do, but Vrindavan has become like my place of work. Because so many devotees are visiting, and I want to make sure that they have a nice time. So I call you Kopa Viksha and Sunshine Bruj, Jaisi Bhajan and Govardhan Rao, and Rupa Nanda, and Rupi Krishna here. So that's really nice. And so they're leaving in a few days. I'm taking them to Barsana today. So I'm actually looking forward to that, a nice walk, Barsana Prikram. Now let's get to our work here. Reading from Bhakti Sandarbha, Anuchet 304, general description of Dasyan. Now we will discuss Dasyan, the servitorship. This limited devotion entails considering oneself a servant of Lord Vishnu, as described below. Quote, if after thousands of births, a person develops the attitude of being a servant of Lord Krishna, he can deliver the entire world, end quote. Doesn't say where that's from. By this attitude alone, one attains perfection. What to speak of the actual effort to serve the Lord? This point is brought out in this statement immediately following the above verse. So what to speak of those whose very life is the Lord and whose senses have thus been brought under control? Only jnana tamirandasya jnananjana shilakaya chaksuri mritamyena tajmai si gurudeva namaha. Panchakarta tiribhyascha kripa sindhu bhayevacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Vidadhar Srivasa Adi Gaur Bhakta Vinda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So it's actually quite nice. I was looking by this kind of turtle path, the slow but sure path. We've actually covered here, I'm just looking in my book, we've covered quite a few. We've covered from almost 200 pages of Shastra discussing the nine symptoms of devotional service. And now we're up to the items Vandanam, now Dasyam, Sakyam, the last three items, and then there's the philosophical basis of Agamuga Bhakti. So this is Vaidhi Bhakti. Performing devotional activities according to the scriptural injunctions, that's the main impetus. And we've just discussed Vandanam the last time, and unfortunately, this last month with traveling, things got a little bit unsteady. But so Vandanam is very, very nice. It's described that it's a part of archanam worship. but he can stand independently, as can chanting and hearing. And it's described separately to devotees, and it's Vandanam, obeisances or prayers, but here it's translated as prayers. It's prescribed separately to devotees who, after hearing about the unlimited qualities and opulence of the Lord, feel unfit. And they pray, and then they bow down, they submit themselves. And this is not just for people who can't do anything else. It's just a sentiment that may overwhelm one. To express your utter submission to the Lord, your utter feeling of unworthiness due to the realization of the glory of God. The more you value something, the more you will feel unqualified to receive it, which will make you humble. So a devotee, this is an advanced devotee, and also we should have these sentiments. Hearing the glories of the Lord should sometimes overwhelm us. Or performing devotional service, the conception of the glory of that should overwhelm us. And that feeling in the heart will press us to bow. And this is actually essential in devotional service. Not just a physical activity, but an emotion that manifests physically and embodies that emotion. We have to pray for this, and we have to not only pray for it, but we have to put ourselves in the mindset. Since coming from Jagannath Puri, where the mercy was flowing, we experienced something so wonderful in this, I'm explaining this Vaishnava association. And it's just that it becomes a collective feeling of the experience of mercy, which invokes a collective humility, which invokes a collective happiness. And while reading the CC, I realized that this is the core foundation of bhakti. It's the core foundation of prayer, that you value Krishna. And a prayer expresses the unlimited value of Krishna. And it expresses your unworthiness, your lack of qualification for what you're getting. And that enables you to experience mercy, which is so soothing to the heart and invokes devotional sentiments. This is the essence of the verse, Chanada Pisi, Nichayana, Karana Pisi. Once you chant the holy name of the Lord in a humble state of mind, thinking oneself, more tolerant than a tree, thinking oneself lower than a destroyer in the street, devoid of all sense of false prestige, and ready to offer all respects to others, in such a state of mind, one is feeling so much mercy and appreciation for the holy name. But there's so much love for the holy name and for Krishna, who's come as the holy name. The holy name is non-different than Krishna. The one feels that. So this is such an essential sentiment in one's spiritual path. As I mentioned, since I come back to my deity worship, I'm much more mindful of this is Govardhan. And when I pray to Prabhupada, his exalted nature, I try to bow my head. I try to fold my hands. I try to feel it, who I actually am and who Prabhupada actually is and the difference. And therefore the mercy that's coming. And Rupa Goswami, I try to meditate, Sri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam, The level of his service attracted the inner heart of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. My head should go down. I should bow down. I should offer obeisances. I try to cultivate that. I try to be a little bit mindful. Who are you and who am I? That's the prayers of Lord Brahma. After he thought Krishna was ordinary and then realized the position of Krishna. And then began prayers. Who are you and who am I? So that's bhakti. So he gives a very nice example of it. How first there's a description of the unlimited qualities of the Lord. And then this invokes in one a feeling of submission. So it's, O Lord, you are the embodiment of all virtue, and you appear in the world for the welfare of all. Who can measure the extent of your qualities? This is Lord Brahma's prayers. So this is fundamental. First, you hear about the unlimited virtues, and then you feel unworthy to render service, and you bow your head. And therefore, the next verse is, Tathenu kam bhamsi samikshamano. Therefore, a person who receives your full grace in every situation, who embraces the fruits of his own past deeds, and who lives bowing down to you with his heart, speech, and body, inherits the very abode of liberation. And liberation here really means the receptacle of the devotee's love. Anyway, there's a description there. So, what's that? What? Is it any clarified now? Oh, 845 in front of the MDT. Okay? Yeah. Yeah, the car should be there. Thank you, Krishna. Say hi, Bo, to the Sangha. Rati Krishna says hi, Bo. This is the Vrindavan Rati Krishna, not the Boston Rati Krishna. Here he's fully manifest. He's checking if the car is there. Anyway, it's so beautiful. There's these offering obeisances. And this is how a devotee feels every moment. He witnesses the Lord showering his unmotivated grace. It's not like a momentary thing. It's an every moment. It's an every moment thing. Because he sees the grace everywhere. Because he sees Krishna bringing him closer to him. And he feels it. There's nothing that can deter it in any situation. He actually feels it, and it's not artificial. It's actually true. It's something he realized. Krishna's mercy is there, and he's bringing me closer to him. He bows down every word, his heart, his body, his mind. And fully perceiving this grace in every situation, the devotee is inundated with bliss. He feels so much love that he feels love within his heart. This is the mood of a devotee. Susikshamana, completely witnessing the mercy, means to meditate deeply on his mercy. He's meditating, he's thinking, yes, it's Krishna's mercy. Not that it's Krishna's mercy because the world is organized so nicely now that it is as if I controlled it for my own enjoyment. But the mercy is that it's beyond my control because I'm not the controller. I'm dependent on you, Krishna. And in that dependence, I feel this. Again, easier said to done, but these are the realizations we have to work for. And therefore, the devotee becomes free from fear, because he feels sheltered by Krishna. And when he feels sheltered by Krishna, We always feel shelter, even in the face of death. And he's confident of it. Now we're in the section of fashion, and this is described here. It's so fortunate, this attitude. Of this attitude in the heart of I am Krishna's servant. You're really just feeling that way, just as Krishna is the person, I am the servant of Nam. I know one young sadhaka, and he has a lot of important service to do, even though he's a young man. And he can't do sadhana. He does sadhana, but he can't do it to the level that he would like. And therefore, he is feeling such a dichotomy between his arduous service and his spiritual practices. And he went to one god sister of mine, an advanced devotee, and she advised him that you should see your work as service to God. It's not a dichotomy. We are servants of Nam. Krishna has appeared in the holy name. We are servants of Nam. And as servants of Nam, everything we do is service to Nam. Are you doing devotional service? That's service to Nam. There's no dichotomy in that way. In his commentary in Srimad Bhagavatam, Sridhar Swami has affirmed that the attitude expressed by Prahlad in his prayers to Lord Nrisimha, and in particular in verse 7950, is that of servitorship, consisting of obeisances, eulogy, offering all karma, personal service, remembering the Lord's feet, and hearing stories about the Lord. So the internal mood manifests in that, I am the servant. Servitorship is also portrayed in the words of Uddhava. It's a sense that we're all dealing with the servants of Krishna, but you're really in the mood of a personal, that's your relationship with Krishna. Because you can serve in many types of relationships, but that's my relationship, I am serving. It's also portrayed in the words of Uddhava. We are servants who are adorned with the garlands, sandalwood paste, garments, and ornaments used by you, and who eat your remnants will surely conquer over your Maya. So if you get a sweater from a great devotee, you can wear the sweater. You don't have to just keep on the altar. Not the socks or the shoes, but the sweater. There's a reason for that. Because the feet are the lowest part of the body, so we don't, out of respect, we don't touch with our feet. Worship with both hands. If you get Prabhupada's shoes, you can put it on the altar. You can't put them on. Because that would be disrespectful. In these and other instances, servitorship is indicated merely by the actions that constitute it. The direct mention of it is found in Sri Shuka's description of Ambarish given in these group of verses. The Ambarish is the great king and he glorified as a servant because all his senses were engaged in a mood of service. Divide Krishna, Mana, Padada Vindayo, Vaichansi, Vaikunta, it described that he was washing the temple, his eyes were seeing, the tongue was tasting with the prasad. All the senses are described. What's going to make the point here in this verse that it's based on an attitude that's described in the verse. He engaged his mind in meditating on the lotus feet of Sri Krishna, and his desire was fixed in the attitude of being a servant, not in the pursuit of sensual enjoyment. And the senses were engaged, but the senses were engaged for service. This is why meditating on the intimate pastimes of Krishna can be dangerous if you don't have the vav of servant. Because the form is the same, the activities are the same. What's different is the vav or the mood. So if your only frame of reference for embracing is sex life, and then you hear about Radha and Krishna's pastimes, you'll tend to think of it in a sensual way. But if you have a real vav of service to Krishna, and therefore have lobha maya shraddha, lobha shraddha mayi, and you actually have a taste for serving Krishna in a particular way, which means a mood of service in a particular relationship with Krishna. Then if you hear about these pastimes, they'll purify you because they'll be representative of the highest mood of service. You'll understand that when the gopis embrace Krishna, it's how by my embrace Krishna you can be pleased. How by my embrace Krishna you can be pleased. And if you have that bhav, if you you have that faith and that Krishna should be served in that way, then the pastimes will purify you of whatever remnants of material desire are there, including sex life. And then when the heart becomes purified, then you'll develop a desire to personally serve the senses of the Lord, and you'll become qualified to meditate on his astakaliya pastimes. You'll be able to meditate on serving Krishna in that way and pleasing his senses. But first there must be some faith. And the faith is that God, that mood of service. So important to it. So it's going to describe Ambarish doing all these activities, but it's based on a desire of the attitude of being a servant and not in pursuit of sense gratification. All these activities are pure. The conjunction cha end connects the final verse with the two previous verses that describe the services Ambarish performed. The word kama, desire, means resolve, and this was rooted exclusively in servitorship to the Lord. So that the use of the conjunction cha along with the statement that follows indicates that Ambarish had resolved to be a servant of the Lord and that he performed each and every action previously mentioned for the Lord's service. In other words, he did not carry out these activities with any desire for personal enjoyment, such as the attainment of heaven. From this it can be concluded that he was devoid of all other desires. So such a nice example. With such a bob of service, that all his senses were engaged in service. Even the sensual experiences were service, because he would taste prasadam, and he would think how Krishna was pleased by this. How Krishna was pleased by this. So he was even eating and experiencing the sensual pleasure of the different tastes was devotional. Under J305, it's just a half a page, and we'll finish the dasyam. All forms of service to the Lord become greatly enhanced only when performed with this attitude of being a servant, as Sage Durvas informed King Ambarish, quote, "Really by hearing the name of the Lord, a person becomes free of all impurity. So what remains to be achieved by the servants of the Lord, whose feet are a holy shrine? But what to speak of service? It's simply remembering, simply hearing purifies you. What to speak of service?" I read today, and I was looking at some verse on Sadhu Sangha, and it described that you attain the lotus feet of the Lord by two things.
a verse in the CC.
If I have a minute, I can even find it. You retain the lotus feet of the Lord by two things. Vaishnav Seva and Nam Kirtan. These two things will guarantee you perfection. I'm going to find that verse. Maybe I won't find that verse. Oh, here it is, 88. Let me find that here. First, the lotus feet of Krishna is attained by those two things. The statement, merely by hearing the name of the Lord, means that regardless of how one may hear the Lord's name, he or she becomes free of all impurity. So what does speak of those who render service to him legitimately? Therefore, what remains to be achieved, either in the matter of practice or perfection, for those who are rightly serving the Lord, the disposition of being a servant, this means that there is nothing greater than the attitude of service. So, next class will do friendship, and then self-surrender, and then we'll get into this very interesting section on Adhanuga Bhakti. So, are there any questions? Okay, while anybody's thinking of a question, would someone like to say Hare Krishna? At least I know that the phone didn't hang up and I was talking to the wall. Anybody like to say Hare Krishna? I wasn't. If it says it is, then should you, okay? Okay, what I'm going to do is I'm going to call back, and if anybody says Hare Krishna, I know.
It's my dad, Marsh.
Right,
it's Tom Mooney. I had to hang up, call back in again, because it wouldn't let me unmute. So I think maybe that's what happened.
That's something happening with people, you know? Okay.
Anyway, thanks so much, Marsh, for the class tonight.
Yeah, it was a comeback after coming on late, but it's a nice section, and I feel very comfortable here executing devotional service, you know? Mm-hmm. It's really a pleasant time of the year, too. It's a little cold, but healthy cold. It's not really cold. I mean, compared to what must be going on in the Northeast right now, even at 4 o'clock in the afternoon in my room, yeah, T-shirt. Okay. I kind of figured that people having problems with muting and unmuting for some time.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Hare
Krishna Maharaj.
Hare Bol.
Okay. So I heard Carl and Stella. Hare Krishna.
Oh, Hare Krishna Maharaj. We miss you.
Wow. Well, somehow this summer we have to cross paths. I don't know. But
how are the little boys doing? How are Nanda and Rupa doing?
Rupa, they're doing great. You know, little Rupa, Jaisi Bhadra's son, is a Rasika Bhakta. You know,
yeah.
He's all attachment, you know? but he's really enjoying Vrindavan, I can tell you that. Both of the children are, in fact, we went out to the Govardhan Palace, and we had a little small parikram with the children, and they rode on a little, one of those bicycle flatbed trucks, and I noticed that the children were just spontaneously chanting.
Hi.
And we got darshan of Keshavabhati Maharaj, and Sandra just got right up on his lap and just sat there completely satisfied.
Wow.
Quietly. Yeah, they're all doing quite well. And I think they have two more days here, so today I'll take them on Barsana Prikram, because that's a good kids one, you can do a lot of walking. And then tomorrow Govardhan and Rupi do full Govardhan Prikram. Jai Subhadra, watch the game. It's going well, thank you.
Yeah, please give my love.
I will tell them. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Good. Good.
Hi, Krishna Maharaj. This is Gail.
Gail, Hare Krishna. Great.
I was trying desperately to unmute my phone when you were asking for questions, and then I had to call back in.
I guess Mahamuni cracked the code or something. After a while, the mute button sees that no one's using it, and then leaves or something. You have to call back. Yeah, I'm getting the sense now. Good. Thank you.
Is it past the time to ask a question?
I think. What time? Yeah, no, you can ask one question.
Yeah. I need to ask this question because when you were saying that, pure devotee, even in the time of death, they see everything as Krishna's mercy, as Krishna trying to bring him closer to him. And, I'm having an experience through someone else where, it just really is difficult to understand how it is possible that Krishna can be putting this person through experiences that seem to expressly thwart his coming closer to Krishna, And so how...
I didn't hear the last sentence.
Yes, it seems as though in this person's experience that I know of, it seems like everything, although the person is so sincere, it seems like everything is happening to actually thwart his coming to Krishna. Everything that is normally supposed to be present to give support to a person's Krishna consciousness, association of the devotees, healthy relationships, even minimal money is not dear. So everything, no support
what?
System. I said even minimal money is not there. So it seems like everything is being done to try to discourage the person, even though the person is remaining so sincere. So how is a person supposed to understand in this situation that everything is happening to try to bring the person closer?
Well, this is not a unique situation. So this is actually a crux philosophical conception and depth. That's, they're trying to deal with that anima-bhijna thing is, we're trying to deal with that anima-bhijna thing with Yudhisthira, who suffered so much. Yudhisthira, who suffered so much that Bhishma Dev said it would have been better that he died than live.
Yeah.
And if that person thinks he has problems, look at Yudhisthira, where he was. And everything was, his wife was raped, his house was attempted to burn down, his land was stolen, and so many things was there.
Mm-hmm.
And my own experience. I mean, the answer was is that, at least my understanding philosophically is we're not qualified to make the judgments what's best for us and what's not best for us in coming to Krishna.
Mm-hmm.
While we're right in the midst of it, because we don't know the subtleties that have to be taken, the subtleties of attachment in our consciousness that have to be taken away for Krishna to give himself. And we're just not qualified to understand that, because we've been in the material world since time immemorial. And we don't understand our psychology. We don't understand exactly what we need and what we don't need. And a lot of times when the suffering is the most intense, it's Krishna getting ready to give us himself. And you know, you wait a little while and then you discover that that's what was happening all along. You know, so you can't say, I know when I was here taking care of, helping Seva Priya take care of her friend, I was giving Seva Priya some support, some emotional and spiritual support, taking care of her friend. It was a girl 26 years old that was dying of cancer. You know, dying of cancer. And, and I remember I was in Delhi at a friend's house. I have a friend. I stay at his house when I'm in Delhi, but he works in Africa. And he's an incredible person who was qualified to be a sadhu, but his father had requested him to stay in the family. He didn't want to get married. And he's an emotionally balanced, very handsome, competent, spiritually advanced person. So he has everything that would attract a good wife. And he never got married, this person. He's very, very spiritual. Very spiritual person. So when I was there, he wrote me and he said, sometimes, and I was going through my own trials by fire, and he heard about this girl. He said, sometimes it appears that Krishna gives a devotee all his dead karma in one life. you know, get rid of it, purify it. Sometimes when the disease comes out, it's more painful. You're getting boils, but what's happening is actually the blood is being purified. So it looks like there's pain, but actually there's purification. So I don't think any person is qualified to make that judgment, you know. And then there's also tests. And sometimes we fail tests. And tests are very, very difficult. And sometimes we fail it, but the purpose of the test is to make us stronger. It's like you shake a nail before you bang it in. But sometimes the shaking is there before the push is there also. So I don't see any, the contradiction would be is if, I don't think to make a contradiction out of the suffering one's getting, one would have to come to the definitive conclusion that actually in the long run, what he's going through is bad for his Krishna consciousness. I remember, I don't get sick in India anymore, but when I first came, the conditions were I got sick a few times. I don't think I've been ill in 25 years in India, practically. But I got malaria. So I'm laying on my back with malaria, which is pain all over the body and high fevers, and I'm thinking, how is this helping me become Krishna conscious? I can't even chant.
Yeah.
How is this helping me become Krishna conscious? Mm-hmm. But it is. So a lot of times the help is not in the immediate, the assistance in the immediate focus on Krishna, but it's in the long range focus on Krishna. I can chant. It's on the long range. In other words, sometimes it may be something that's disturbing, and you may say, well, why is Krishna doing this? Because I can't even think of Krishna. But Krishna's not just considering the moment. He's preparing you to really be able to focus on Krishna. And I thing. How is it helping me become Krishna conscious? It was detaching me from the body. It was tempering my passions. You know, so there's all kinds of things that happen. The main thing is, can't understand. Because you just don't have the tools to understand the depth of someone's psychology. And probably, generally speaking, you know, some of the subtleties of our consciousness and our attachments, we're the least qualified people to. Our attachment, and abhatam jnana, etena, jnana, nityavayana. Attachment covers knowledge. So very, you know, the attachment we have that covers our knowledge, the other person doesn't have, because it's our attachment. He may be able to objectively see it more. Just because someone is temporarily disturbed, you know, that it's not ultimately good for his overall Krishna consciousness, considering the whole picture which we can't see.
Okay.
Okay, I'm glad you're satisfied. Anybody else? Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna? Okay. What's today's date? What?
Today's
the 6th. It's the 6th. Okay. So in 1 month, I'll come back. And now I'm going to try to do a lot of writing and happen, but I've started to do some, you know. But because after that, I don't know the day they leave, some other devotees are coming, but it's nice to serve the devotees in Vrindavan. Okay, Panchakalpa, Tarubhya, Shakrita.